Hey guys, I'm Zach.
I'm Lucas.
And this is Tales from the Bunk Bed. This is episode zero of a new podcast that we decided to start, where we are going to be talking about pop culture. We're brothers, separated by 5 years, which makes for an interesting dynamic, but we also shared a room for, was it like a decade?
Yeah, probably at least a decade.
And for a good majority of that decade, we were in the confines of a bunk bed.
Yeah.
Which makes that sharing of a room even more of an intimate thing. So we definitely consumed a whole lot of pop culture together.
Yeah, you were influencing me quite a bit.
I mean, and we could go vice versa too, because you're the one who, like, all right, so we'll get this out. I'm the movie guy. Anyone knows me, like, I'm hardcore movie guy. You're like the video game guy.
Yeah.
So like you, like, and you'll get to notice this the more we do the show. You're gonna learn that I have the expertise in movies. He's gonna know more about the development side of gaming. It's how it's gonna be. So that's kind of where you grew, and you've kept me into that, the like gaming side of things, for a while. I could have easily fallen off.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I've definitely pushed video games a lot more in our childhood youth.
Exactly. So basically what we're going to do with this show, we shared a room, like you said, for like a decade, most of the time in a bunk bed. That's where the name comes from. But what we're going to do is every week we're going to pick a piece of pop culture. It could be a movie, a game, a show, a book, a freaking game we made up in playing a room. We really don't care. As long as we did it when we were younger and shared a room, it's fair game on this show. Why? Because it's fun. We want to talk about the stuff we liked, and there's a lot of good things to come out of the late 90s and early aughts.
Yeah, nostalgia's great, right?
Exactly. and the world's pretty shitty right now, so it's good to look back on the things that were great not that long ago.
Yeah.
Also, I think it'll be pretty interesting. Because like I said, we have 5 years between us. So when we were growing up, that age difference was a big thing. But now that we're older, it'll be interesting to look back on these and get both of our perspectives of how it was, like what we thought of playing these games and doing these things together when we were younger.
Yeah, there's definitely times I know where I have a memory of a game or a movie or something we did when we were younger, but I was only like six, so I don't, like, my perspective is definitely going to be different from yours. I know that.
I mean, when this happens all the time, we're just talking about stuff that we liked when we were kids, and I'll bring something up, and you'll be like, oh no, you were the one who was all about that. I played it because you did, but I never was that into it. And it's like, oh yeah, and you really weren't. It's just I was into it. We shared a room, so by proxy, you had to kind of be into it, or else you were miserable. That's kind of how it went for us. So yeah, that's how it's going to go, and it's going to be a bi-weekly show. We're gonna do it every other week because it'll be a little longer, probably around like 2-ish hours an episode, we're hoping. It's somewhere in between there. Doing it bi-weekly, so we're doing this for fun. We don't want to have it take up too much of our time, become too much of a stressful thing, and also so we have enough time to actually like dive into whatever it is we're going to actually talk about in the upcoming episode, especially when it's like a video game or a TV show, something like that you want to really dive back into, so you have something to talk about.
Oh yeah, I mean if we had a PS2 game that we're looking at, we want to be able to revisit it and get some of those experiences we had when we were kids,
and not just like revisit it for a night. I want to like be able to like deep dive into the game a little bit and beat some levels and get kind of into it and remember what we love so much about the game, rather than just like, oh yeah, playing it's fun. I want to remember cheat codes and things like
that.
Get ready for talks about that, because we were the king of cheat codes. What was the website?
GameSpot. Yeah, we used to have printouts, like three to five page printouts for each game, for like Tony Hawk Pro Skater or something. We'd have the printouts, all the cheat codes, what you had to enter, what it would unlock. Our dad really helped us with that one.
Oh, yeah. And he's a big techie guy, and he doesn't get rid of anything. So I guarantee you we can find some of these cheat code pamphlets at home. So hopefully we can find some of those for future episodes when we're doing games that we use cheat codes. Because we grew up with, and we'll talk about this more later because there's something we're going to talk about a little later on. But we grew up with Super Nintendo was our system when we were like initially kids. We didn't get a PlayStation 2. You didn't get a PlayStation 2 because it was yours until like, but it was like 2-3 years after it came out.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely was at least 2-3 years.
Yeah, it had been out. It was not brand new tech. So we were very familiar with like older gaming, but with the Super Nintendo, we had the Game Genie.
Yep.
So we've been doing cheat codes since square one. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of miss the days of like built-in cheat codes where it was part of the game.
Like, and even like, with the Game Boy, you had the Game Shark.
Yep.
You'd load up whatever you wanted, whether it was Pokemon, you'd get 999 Master Balls or something.
And this was all, like, sold fairly. Like, this was part of the gaming experience. It was fun.
I'm sure we could do a whole episode on cheat codes.
Yeah,
we could probably get a full 2 hours or something. Like,
easy.
We could get a lot of cheat codes.
We'll have to, you know what we'll have to do for that? We'll bring someone in who played Vice City and San Andreas a lot. Because those are some of the most epic cheat code games.
Oh, yeah.
So, because we didn't get in. You got into Grand Theft Auto at four.
Yeah.
I didn't get into it till five. And five is when I went deep dive and I played a lot. So, we don't have the experiences with those games. But all my friends that I know, you probably have plenty of friends who did.
I mean, Grand Theft Auto 4 had a lot of cheat codes. I remember playing with, Max. And you would spawn in the helicopter, you'd spawn in the super fast car or whatever right in front of you, or you'd spawn a helicopter, get on top of a building, spawn a motorcycle, and do backflips off the building. It's like we'd spend a bunch of time doing that. I know I remember we, playing with Max, he bought San Andreas at one point, and we were just screwing around one day putting in cheat codes, and one of the cheat codes is flying cars. So we're going down the street, and all of a sudden, this blue sedan, straight out of Harry Potter, just takes off from the street and flies up. It was crazy. It was one of the most ridiculous things. We're just going, oh, my God, Harry Potter.
Oh, that's great. See, we're going to have plenty of stuff like that to talk about. Like, we have plenty of deep dives experience stuff like that. So basically what the structure of the show will be is we'll pick a topic at the end of – so we're going to rotate once we get into the swing of things. The first episode, because this is episode zero, we have come together and decided together what our topic's going to be. Once we get after that episode is at the end of that episode, we'll pick the rotation probably off air. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We're going to rotate week to week where each of us gets to pick what the topic is for the next week. So we each get to pick, and the other person doesn't know until the end of that episode. So that's when that'll be revealed is for the topic for 2 weeks from then. Gives everyone plenty of time if it's a movie to watch it, if it's a game and they want to play it, you know, all that jazz. Yeah. So we'll do that. That'll be out. So we'll have a topic going into every episode, which since this is the episode zero and we haven't done an episode, let's just announce what we're going to do next week right now because we talked about it already. Yeah. So like we said, this is going to be a bi-weekly podcast, but right out the gate, we're going to put episode zero up this Tuesday, and then next Tuesday will be the first episode just because it's how we're going to do it. But after that, it's going to be every other week for the show. So that's what you can expect. Every other Tuesday is when we are planning to drop the show. Hopefully we can keep up on that schedule. So what it'll be, we'll come in and intro the show every week. We're gonna shoot the shit out the gate, kind of talk current events, so we can talk about what is entertaining us now, which is exactly what this episode right now is gonna be. We'll get into that in a little bit. So we'll open the gate with that kind of banter, shoot the shit about what we've been watching, what we've been playing, what we've been reading, whatever we've been doing,
just what you've been taking up your free time with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is very on brand for what the show is. So that'll be first 20 minutes, half hour of the show-ish. You know, hopefully that's looking like what that'll be. So after that, we'll intro what game we're playing or what movie we're watching, whatever it is. We'll intro the thing we're covering. Give like a nice break. Just like, breakdown of what it is, plot, all that jazz that you want to hear. A little history of it. Then we'll go in the first part. It'll basically be a two-section show for the topic. The first part will be memory lane. This is where the two of us just talk about memories of playing these games together, apart, with friends, growing up. So it'll be our memories of the game. Fond, whatever it be. Then the back half of that will be
the game.
Exactly. So
what were our thoughts now?
Thoughts now.
What made it, what got us excited, what maybe wasn't as good, visiting and going back, kind of what we think of the game nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Well, basically, we'll be giving it a proper critique in the nowadays part. So, memory lane is our fondness for it. This is why we will always love it no matter what. This is our childhood. This is how it shaped us who we are.
Every topic we do on this podcast is going to be something we love. No matter if we go back now and it's nowhere near as good, we're always going to love it just because it's what we grew up on. This stuff we probably put in over 3 days of time on a video game, a movie we probably watched at least 20 times.
And when we say
something,
3 days of time, we mean 72 hours, not we spent 3 days playing this game and never touched it again. No, we played 72 hours at least of the video game. Yeah, totally. So there's going to be a whole bunch of that. It's always going to be very personal. Anyone who knows me or follows me on social media and things knows that I'm very much a believer in how art can shape who people are and how they act and their beliefs and everything like that. I mean, it's art, and art influences life, vice versa. So there's going to be a lot of personal stories, a lot of that, but I think it'll all be very entertaining. As you're already seeing now, the stories are coming. It's going to be very, very natural for us to do this because this is what we talk about when we hang out anyways all the time. I think the age difference will be a cool little thing.
Yeah, it'll, you get two different perspectives.
Exactly. We're not necessarily different generations, but it's half a decade between us. There's definitely a disparity there in how we've grown up.
Yeah,
and
growing up, you were 10, I was 5. That's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, games we played at that age, or like movies or whatever it is from that time, I guarantee you we're going to have different perspectives on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. So that's going to be the basic structure of the show. After we do the nowadays section, we will announce what whoever's turn it is will announce what the topic for next week is. We'll talk probably a few minutes shooting the shit on that and close out the episode. So that pretty basic. It's going to be simple structure, but it should lead to a lot of... I mean, we're going to go on a lot of tangents. We've already been doing that at this episode, and we're just trying to intro what the goddamn show is.
I was going
to
say, you announced, 5 minutes ago? Yes. We were going to tell you what the next episode was going to be, and we still haven't said it.
Also, except that now we're going to be swearing. Shit, fuck, damn. It's all coming out. If we're going to be talking about the things we love like this, especially the two of us in a natural rapport, it's coming. We're going to swear. I mean, we're not gonna flood your ears with it, but there's going to be... Yeah.
I mean... Nowadays it's in everyone's vocabulary.
Yeah. But just that's going to be there. Not that it really matters, but so yeah, I think it's going to be pretty fun. I think this is a pretty cool idea. I'm excited about this. We've been talking about doing some sort of show for a while now.
Yeah, this has been, I mean, we've been talking about this podcast for at least a month and a half, 2 months now.
Yeah, most of summer. And before that, we were already talking about doing a show. But the minute this idea came to me, I was like, that's actually good. I think we can get some cool insights, some cool analysis. We are both pretty knowledgeable about different things.
Yeah.
So like when we do the different topics, there'll always be someone who's like, kind of the guru, knows a lot, and then the person who's just like kind of like a fan. So you'll definitely get a cool dynamic.
Yeah, no, I'm going to definitely try and do it. Like, I'm going to do like research for the topics. Like, I'm going to see like what a video game reviewer thought of this game, whether it be they revisited it last year or like it's when it came out. Like,
good
point. I'm going to try and take a look at some of the stuff online.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should definitely look into initial reaction too. What the critical reaction was at the time and how it grew over time. Because, I mean, movies, books, shows, games are all the same. Like, there's movies that came out a while ago that people hated, and now it's like, no, that movie's the best. Like, Hot Rod. Hot Rod is a movie that when it came out, people were like, what's this dumbass comedy? It's like, Lonely Island is the goddamn best. It's amazing. Everybody loves it. People have come around. They've realized. So I think, that's another interesting thing we'll get into in this show. It's just how art ages, the changing of times and how things get reevaluated over time and in new eras.
Oh yeah.
Which also means, sorry for some of you, it's gonna sometimes get a little political and social. Like social politics and something that are gonna come up because it's part of art, whether you want it to be or not. And it's definitely gonna come up when we're analyzing art in the time when it came out versus time now. I know we're gonna end up getting into some stuff that came out in like Bush era times and stuff that was probably some right-wing propaganda stuff that we liked and may still like, but we will acknowledge stuff like that. This is not going to be a politics podcast.
Nah,
but
I know.
Things will come out. Sorry if you don't agree with us. Try not to rage at us all the time. We are going to try and keep it mostly pop culture.
Yeah,
but also,
we definitely want to. I mean, this is a pop culture podcast, not a politics podcast, so we're going to try and keep it out as much as possible, but...
We have values.
Yeah.
And we are not going to stand down from those values for the sake of you guys wanting to hear us talk about some skateboarding game for an hour without it. Things like that. But also, in the end, it's here for fun, talking about the things that we have a good time with. So speaking of that, let's segue into what we are going to be talking about in episode 0 and what has been entertaining us now.
Do we want to announce what's going to be in episode 1? What the topic's going to be?
We brought that up a while ago. We were going to say it. We never did. All right. Lucas is keeping me on track. This is good. this is going to work well. All right. So... Yes, topic for the first episode. Might as well just get it out of the way now because we came to it together. I think this is going to be a fun one. These are games we definitely put a lot of hours in.
I know a lot of my buddies and stuff definitely put plenty of hours into it.
Yes. Even,
like, I know recently, like in July, like 2-3 months ago, me and my buddies pulled out the GameCube and we're playing these.
Let's talk about it. So it's a sports franchise. One time, very popular sports franchise. Maybe the reason why NFL, NHL, NBA just started giving exclusive rights to their logos and names to specific sports games. They are, of course, NFL Blitz and NHL Hits.
So we're doing the Hits and Blitz episode.
Yes, the Hits and Blitz episode. We own a couple. We own two of the Blitz games. One of the two of the Hits games. One of the Blitz games.
Hits 2002, and then Hits Pro, and then just Blitz 2003.
Yes, and Hits Pro was the final NHL Hits game.
Yeah.
There was one more NFL Blitz game, It was not one more blitz game, not an NFL game. Again, all history. This will go into when we actually do the episode on this. But that's what we're gonna do. We figured hockey starts is starting now. Football's been going for a little over a month now. Good time to do this without doing the boring, you know, Madden NHL talk. Like, yeah. Come on. I don't want to talk about Madden anymore. They've changed like three things in the last 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll bring up something in next week.
Oh, they'll come
Madden
up
in NHL, yeah. Because I know I put in enough hours in those games.
Oh, myself. And I'm sure there'll be a little bit. One of them will probably be a little bit of your current entertainment as well at the time.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna deep dive in those. Sorry if you don't like sports games. You don't have to like sports to like these. If you never played these games because you were just like, sports games, you're a damn idiot. They're so much fun.
The value, the entertainment value coming out of these games really isn't from the sports. It's Mm-mm. the gameplay itself when you're in a game situation. It's just so fun. There's so, like, you're having such a good time. You could play it with a bunch of friends. You could play it by yourself. It's just, you have a great time because it's just over the top, ridiculous, yes. like, scenarios going on.
Exactly. So be excited for that in a week because that's going to be fun. If you have the games, I'd recommend revisiting them. We will definitely be doing that. If you've never played them and you have access, I'd recommend checking them out. You may find that you're having a lot more fun than you thought. So yeah, listen for that in a week. There'll be a lot more fun with that. But let's get into our topic for this week. What's been entertaining us now? And it is, of course, what has been entertaining pretty much any gamer for the last month, Destiny 2. Yeah,
Destiny 2. We should pull up the website right now. See we've put in officially.
So while we're bringing that up and talking to bring up how much we've already played this game, I just want to bring a little bit of our gaming history up with this. So Destiny 1, both of us played, both of us love. Destiny 1 is the game that got both of us to upgrade to the new generation
system. Yeah, because we were both playing 360 still up until then.
So this got us both to, I went Xbox One, you went PS4. This is where we took our first diversion as gamers between each other.
We shared a PlayStation 2 originally, yep. And then we didn't get another console for what, 7 years?
Nope.
And you bought a 360, so, I mean, obviously I started playing 360, then I was in 8th grade when you bought that or something?
Yeah, because I was a sophomore. Oh, you were younger, you were probably like 6th grade, 5th or 6th grade.
I think I was
a sophomore, it was Modern Warfare, the original Modern Warfare is when I bought the 360, I saved up for like 4 months working at Wegmans to get it. Yeah, went nuts with it. We played a shit ton of that.
So, I mean, this was probably the first, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One were the first consoles that came out where we both had income, where we could both kind of decide what we wanted to buy, because mom and dad weren't buying them for us. We find, like, both of us were able to buy it ourselves. So, you loved your, we both loved the Xbox 360. Your buddies went Xbox One. My buddies want PlayStation 4. So obviously, we're naturally going to lean towards that.
Exactly. I mean, when you get into nowadays, it's a lot of social gaming with online gaming. You're going to play with who your friends are, which is, I'm sure you'll hear this be brought up many times over however long we do the show. We need to have an open internet for console gaming.
Yeah.
It needs to happen. Hopefully, it sounds like steps are finally starting to be taken. Who knows how long it could take, but at least there's a conversation and dialogue happening.
We still got some time, I think.
Yeah, so hopefully, at some point down the line in the show, we have some good news to tell you on that front. Destiny 1, we played a lot of, got us to buy the new systems, had a blast with it.
Do you want to tell the story of Destiny 1, the day it was released, midnight launch, when you walked into my room?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there in my room and Zach comes in. He goes, "Did you see the new game, Destiny?" I was like, "No, what are you talking about?" I hadn't really heard anything. I wasn't really into the new consoles yet. I wasn't even thinking I was going to buy one for at least another 6 months. I was like, "Oh, maybe I'll pick one up Black Friday if this is a good enough deal, whatever." So it's like September 5th or whatever, the day before the game comes out. And Zach walks in and he goes, "Yeah, this game, this is it's made by Bungie. It's made by your guys, the guys who made Halo." I was like, "Holy shit!" I was like, "I didn't know they were able to." I thought they were in contract with Microsoft to make the only Halo games, but it turns out their contract had just ended, and this was the first game that they were gonna put on all consoles. Like, it was gonna be everywhere. And Zach showed me the trailer for it, and I was immediately hooked. I was like, "This game looks great. Yeah. Like, this looks fucking awesome. I was like,
and we went out and bought great brand new systems.
Yeah. So that night, midnight, we walked into Best Buy. Midnight launch. We just walked into Best Buy. We were like, we want to buy a PlayStation 4 with the Destiny bundle, and he wanted the Xbox One with the Destiny copy. So we walked in, grabbed those, and we were the first people out of the store.
They cashed us out because we bought the system, so they let us go first. But positive, let's talk about it. So I showed you the trailer, the live-action trailer that used Knights of Cydonia by Muse, fucking rollicking song. Oh, my God, that trailer still pumps me up the way – and they did it perfectly. I mean, we could probably do a whole episode on just, like, game trailer use of music. Gears of War's use of Mad World is still the best trailer moment of all time. But they used it perfectly in that trailer, and it jacked me up, and it sold me on that game. I was like, I'm getting this. I was originally going to get it for 360, and then, like, my two buddies at work were like, you need to get the One. Like, we have One. You need to get it and play with us. And I was like, fuck, I should just get the One. And I did, and that's what it did. It was kind of a spur. Which, all of the best big electronics decisions are spur of the moment. Oh, buys. Yeah. Come on. Oh, it's the best. So we, yeah, got those, got the game. And so let's go.
Fell in love with it.
Yeah. All right. So how many hours did you put in on One?
So I had three characters. Mm-hmm. Total hours between the three of them, 229.
Hot damn.
On just the one character, I had 139. The other two were mid-40s. Right. Hours. So.
All right. So for me, for One, this is where, you're going to see. This is where Lucas is the gamer. I'm the movie guy. And I still, and this is a lot. I put 133 hours in on the first game. Most of it was with my Warlock, 90 of the hours. I also had a Titan, put in 42 of the hours. But... yeah, I don't know. I had, like, two kids I was playing with. That was our fire team. The one kid went into the Marines, and we just kind of fell off after that, so I kind of stopped.
You had, what, like, 5-6 days played? I had 9 days played, which is insane. 9 days of just straight gameplay, which is insane.
So we're not here to review the first Destiny. Everyone knows it had its problems. They did a lot of building through DLC, may have released an unfinished game. We don't have gripes here. We don't hold grudges. We had so much fun with that game. We never cared. Yeah.
That came in. It entertained us for 229 hours and 130. Exactly. Like, we had so much fun.
So now fast forward 3 years. It's now 2017, September 6th, a Wednesday, and Destiny 2 comes out. The sequel, the long-awaited sequel that apparently way more people than people thought were excited for, because there is a ton of people. So here's the thing. All right, one more fact about the first game that a lot of people didn't realize, because after it came out, got some, middling reviews. Some people really liked it. Some people dogged it for its flaws.
Yeah.
But it kept building and building. Whereas, like, 3 months in, people started reporting, oh, shit, there's, like, 12 million active players on this game.
Daily active users.
People are playing this game all the time. Millions. So, they kept building in DLC, fixed games. So, what happened now with Destiny 2, they've released it. This is definitely a complete game, much more so than the first. They figured it out. Now they want to get, they realize how many people are playing the game. They want to get competitive. They saw what Overwatch is doing, things like that. They want to get in on that. Who can fucking blame them? Especially when this game is flawless first-person shooter mechanics. So, Destiny 2. Let's get into it. Start out, where are you at hours-wise?
So, Destiny 2. This game's been out for just under a month.
Mm-hmm.
I've put in 80 hours already.
Nice.
Yeah, so just over 3 days. It's a little much. I'm a little embarrassed, but I'm having a blast with this game.
All right, so I'm at not quite as much, but still a lot for considering it's barely been a month. 58 hours. That's a couple days out of the last month I just spent playing video game. And if you guys think this is bad, you should see the kids I play with. Some of the kids I play with, a couple of Marines, they took leave the week the game dropped. We checked our time at the end of that week, and I was at like almost 2 days. They were all at like 5 days. So we're not that pathetic, guys.
Yeah, I know. I had a couple kids who took vacation from work the week Destiny came out, and just they would, they did what your buddies did. They would take power naps, like they wouldn't take full like 8 hour sleep cycles. They would take short power naps. They'd stay up till 4 a.m., sleep for 4 or 5 hours, wake up and do it again, play until 3-4 a.m.
Exactly.
It was wild.
So let's get into a little bit into like the game and why we're there. So first off, we're not going to get into talk about all three of the characters. I want you, who's your guy? What do you use?
I mean, I've always been a Titan.
You're a Titan.
Titan, yeah. I like the they're so beefy, they take so much damage. So, I mean, I've always been kind of that tank bruiser mentality in video games.
Well, and I was that way. All right, so, and this is what I always say, what I love about Destiny is it blends my three favorite three of my favorite competitive games of all time in Call of Duty, Halo, and Borderlands. You get the perfect shooting mechanics of Call of Duty, a little more of the sci-fi fun
team-based
aspect. Yeah, team-based stuff of Halo, and they have a form of the Halo jumping in this that works really well. It's really well integrated into the game, and then you have the RPG free roam style of Borderlands.
Yeah,
and the three classes of character, which are basically out of Borderlands.
Yeah.
So I played as is it Zero?
Yep, Zero was the sniper.
Yes, and I forget what his name was. Mordecai in the first one.
Okay.
That was always the sniper class. And I had never been a sniper before that. I was always like running gun titan, but Borderlands got me into that. So when this game came around and I saw the Warlock, instantly reminded me of that character. And I was like, well, this guy looks dope. I'm going to be the Warlock. Been hooked on in the Warlock ever since. That's my main guy.
Yeah, it's weird. When I first got into like Call of Duty 4, I was the sniper. I mean, you know that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go in a game unless I had the M40 equipped. And then once we got into Borderlands, I was the big bruiser guy. I don't remember what his name was. But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
We kind of flip-flopped a little bit there. But which is funny too, because the Warlock in the end isn't really, he's not a sniper.
No.
He's just a little more of a tactile character, which the Hunter is too. The Hunter being the third of the characters, which neither of us really, we don't play as that much.
The Hunter, so, I mean, the differences between the classes, the Titan is the more resilient guy, he can take more damage. The Hunter is faster, more agile, and then the Warlock is recovery-based, yeah. So he heals faster, which has, he's, like, got, like, magic, sort of,
yeah.
Kind of. Like, that's kind of what his powers are, is more magic-based, mm-hmm. So that's kind of what they go for with the recovery with the Warlock.
Yeah. Which is what drew me to it in the first place, the more, like, magic-y aspect of it. Which, granted, they all kind of have it, because you have the three subclasses, which go for the three types of damage, Arc, Void, and Solar. This is what I love about the Warlock, is the Warlock of all the characters has all three subclasses that are really fun. I feel like the Hunter and the Titan both have at least one subclass that you're just never going to touch, because you don't care about. Which is fine. I mean, it's fine. You can't get everything perfect.
In the original Destiny, they only had two subclasses. Now, yep. They added a third later on, but, I mean, going straight into three is kind of tough. I mean, that's a lot of abilities. That's nine different abilities you have to come up with, each corresponding to what the the main idea is with each character.
And learning to use them, because you have three different types of grenades, three different types of jumps, and two different set classes for your special.
Exactly.
So it's learning all that, what to use and what to use when, things like that. What I love about this game, what I love about the first game, is how they make it team-based, strategy-based. They want you to work together. They don't want you to just, like, you can go Crucible if you want to do classic PvP and just run and gun and kill each other.
Even Crucible is so much better when you have even one person or a full team of four guys.
So this is a good point to talk about. One of the major improvements of Destiny 2 over Destiny 1 is definitely Crucible.
Yeah.
I didn't hate Crucible in Destiny 1, but I didn't love it. It was 6v6. It was a little chaotic. It was hard to ever really get a grasp on being great unless here's a big problem too. Shotguns and snipers weren't power guns in the first game. Or fusion rifles were not power guns. They were secondary weapons,
so you could use those whenever you wanted, because you got ammo right away when you
spawned. So fusion rifles and shotguns just and snipers fucked up Crucible. If you didn't have those and you weren't good with those, you just got raped all day. Yeah. It was horrible.
The standard guns, the auto rifles, the pulse rifles, and the scout rifles, one burst, three burst, and auto guns, they weren't even close to the power that the fusion rifle snipers
So only power guns were just rocket launchers, different types of rocket launchers. They didn't even have grenade launchers yet.
Machine guns.
Oh, heavy, which they don't have in the new game, heavy machine guns. So, yeah, you had two or three different power weapons, but you got power ammo like once every, it was like, you get it maybe twice around in Crucible 4. So where changes came now, one, they lowered it to 4v4. Instantly in beta, I was like, this is so much better. I've had a blast playing Crucible in beta.
The maps in Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, the Crucible maps, they're not terribly large. So there's no reason it should have ever been 6v6. It was a little much. I mean, obviously they were taking a little bit from the Call of Duty aspect there.
Well, exactly. They were a new game. There's like they just basically lifted that straight from Call of Duty.
Yeah. What else was there 6v6? I forget. But
Battlefield has always done. They do 6v6 and way bigger.
Yeah.
So they thought they didn't assume they were going big. That was the standard.
Yeah.
It proved to be, for what this game is and how much there's like the tactile nature of it, and so that it proved to be too big. So they definitely minimized that. I wouldn't mind if they added a 66 game mode with like two big maps just for if you have like a bunch of people you want to play with. Like you,
yeah.
When you have six people you want to play with and you don't want to raid.
Yeah, you're ground war type.
Exactly. Something like that. Where it can even be like outside of like, it doesn't have to be for like gear and shit. You know, like everything else is kind of like working you towards stuff. And if they didn't want to like mess up that, you could just make it a game mode to play with your friends where it's like, we just want to do 6v6 and they'd be able to play the game with a bunch of people. But the 4v4 has been a great addition. It works really well. And then the other huge thing, and this is huge just in the whole game, not just Crucible, snipers and shotguns and fusion rifles are now all power weapons. With rocket launchers, grenade launchers, no more heavy machine guns. Grenade launchers are the most useless weapon ever. I break down every single one I have, so do I, and I don't even care about them. But this has worked great, for especially for Crucible. They give you power ammo once every 2 minutes?
Yeah, I think
2 minutes.
There's a couple. There's like four different spawning locations, and they're like staggered every 2 minutes.
So that works really well. Oh, and there's swords now. Swords are a power weapon. Swords are fun. They need to do a little bit of a
ammo downgrade on those.
They're a little too powerful, and all they have to do is take away a couple, like three ammo.
A couple strikes.
It should be like three ammos. That's it.
Yeah,
because if you hit all three, it's going to be three kills. And that's what the golden gun is for the hunter. Why should you get a better perk with a sword as a power weapon?
Why should your heavy weapon be so much better than a super when it takes you like half the game to get your super and you can just go pick up heavy ammo?
And honestly, this is a minor complaint. It gets a little annoying, but if you turn your sword on and fight right back with it, you can balance. And here's what's good about it. At most, what can you do? Take out all four of them. By the time they all respawn, you're probably going to get killed or you've wasted ammo. Yeah. It's like with your super. You can't get 20 kills with your super. You can get four because by the time they respawn, you're going to be out of super.
Yeah, you're out of super, or they're far enough away where they can kill you before you actually reach them.
So they did a good job with that, where it's leveling playing field. They took some cues from Overwatch, sharing kills, finally. Multiple people can get a credit for a kill, which just does away with assists, basically.
Yeah, and it makes your players happy because you're going to be shooting at someone, and if you're playing Crucible right, you're rolling with your team. So everybody's firing bullets into one or two guys.
So I should only one person get a credit every time they get a kill.
If only one person's getting a credit, then your team, like your stats are going to look like shit, and you're not going to want to keep playing because you're going to feel like you're not doing anything. But if you're at least getting like points for putting half your clip into this guy, even though your teammate finishes them, you're going to be like, okay, I'm still doing work on these guys. Like, I still want to play. I'm having a good time.
This, I've been commending Overwatch for this since I got the game last spring. This was, I think, one of the biggest things that they added to online multiplayer PvP gaming was this idea of sharing your credit of a kills. Because, like I said, what I loved about Overwatch is I go hardcore with Destiny. There's always a game, like, every other year, or maybe once a year. I've always been huge in the Gears games. Like, I'll go a deep dive in and play a lot of hours. But for the most part, I'm casual. Like, I'll play video games maybe once a week, kind of pick it up, want to play, do a shooter, play some stuff. What was great about Overwatch, and which will be proxy with Destiny, it was easy to be a casual gamer and enjoy that game, where I could just like play once a week, pick up, get 10 to 15 kills in a match. And even if I'm technically not doing that much for the team, at least I feel like I am and I'm having fun. Exactly. It's at the heart of what every video game you should be doing. Having fun. It's entertainment. So that works really well. And just like with Overwatch, it works really well where it's still really fun for the really good gamers too, because they'll hit 25, 30 kills and dominate, and they will run a match, and they'll be kind of your team leaders and stuff like that. So it's a really good disparity to keep both groups of gamers happy, between casual and hardcore gamers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is perfect. I mean, you had 12 million gamers on Destiny. You're going to have more on 2 because of something like that. You're going to be able to keep these gamers that would fall off because they can come play Crucible every now and again. If they just like if they just like to have a game that they want to play as a shooter every here and there, like people do with Call of Duty. They just want to pop on, play a couple matches, and release some steam and then go to bed.
By Bungie improving their Crucible and Destiny 2, they're going to keep a lot more players on board because it's going to give you a lot more variety in gameplay. You're not just in the story. You're not just in the strikes. You're not just in the raid. You're able to go into the Crucible and go play PvP. It's a completely different aspect than the rest of the game.
Yep.
So it'll keep a lot more people happy. It gives you a lot more variety. So it'll give you things to bounce between. So you're not going to get bored as easily as you would have in Destiny 1 necessarily.
Destiny 1 was a game where if you didn't have friends to play with, it was pretty boring to play alone if you weren't doing like story mode and stuff. You don't really feel like going into strikes with two people you don't know.
Because
you know they're going to dip out halfway through and you just wasted 20 minutes. Things like that. So what they did, and Crucible being 6v6, if you weren't on a team of people you knew, it was hard to really do anything. You'd kind of get shit on the whole time.
Exactly.
So yeah, they definitely, and this is something they said they're going to work on, especially because they want to get in that competitive side, is they're going to open the game up to make it more accessible to the lone gamer. Because like in the first game, if you want to, and which still you need to have six people if you want to raid. They haven't opened up.
There's the
guided games
now, which is
beta.
It's a great idea. You get enough people, whether it be like the Nightfall or the raid. You get one or two people. You go in and it pairs you up with someone who needs help, and you go through and do the raid or the Nightfall.
Basically, what happens is like, say if it's the Nightfall, a group of two will go in and it'll pair them with one other person.
Yep,
so they can do it. Say you have four, which I haven't seen much done on guided games for the raid yet, but similar. Say you have like four people, you want to do it, it'll pair you up with two lone people.
Yeah, the raid's going to be tough for a little bit because everybody, you need to know what to do.
Have you done it at all yet?
Guided games?
Yeah.
No, but
I did a read up on it. So yeah, there's a disclaimer before you go in where it's like, you have to agree to not just dip out. Like, you're committing to a Nightfall for the next 20 minutes. You're committing to a raid for, like, you're committing to do a long-form thing with these people. So if you back out, it suspends you from joining the list for the next few hours, for like an hour or something. And I think if you get multiple offenses, it'll block you for like a day. So they're trying to keep it so like people who aren't serious aren't going in. So like people are going to jump into a Nightfall if they don't like the person, jump out real quick, you know?
That's good.
Because this thing, these, especially raids, a big commitment. Which, let's talk about the raid a little bit. We've both at least played all parts of the Leviathan raid, the first raid that they dropped a week after the game released.
Yes.
So it's pretty nuts. I played it the day it dropped with a group, and we refused to look anything up. So we played for like 7 hours and beat two events and got stuck on in the third. The dogs were not easy. We only beat one event and we got stuck on. We've since found out the order in which you hit events can be different.
Yeah, it changed. It varies.
The only thing that is consistent is what's his face at the end.
Kallus.
The boss fight at the end. Only thing that's consistent. The three other events can be in different orders.
Yeah, they rotate.
It's a hell of a lot of fun though.
It is.
So it's a lot of. So there's ad clearing stuff in between each main event, which you have to do. I mean, we're not going to explain whatever part of the raid is. We're not going to go through that. But like, so that's like your basic. Ad clearing stuff, which is like much like strikes and stuff, where you're just kind of clearing ads. You have a small objective, yada yada. Unlock a room to go to the main events. The main events are mostly mechanics, which is what's cool about it. Very team based objectives. There's literally no way you can complete a raid without six people.
Yeah, and everyone has to have a mic. You need to be talking to each other. If there's no communication in your group, you're not going to get through it.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Because you, like, for example, the dogs. The guys up top need to tell you where to go. Like, you can't just kind of wander around.
Oh, and this was... So, the dogs were the second event. We couldn't finish the first night we did it. Like I said, we didn't want to look things up. That one got... Tensions were getting high because we had the two people up top. One of them was just like... He kept yelling directions, but he wasn't pointing it out to us. He'd be like, all right, go straight. And all four of us would be facing literally all four different directions. And we all be like, oh, we're straight. And like, so there was like a lot of pressure. And then like, one of us would go the wrong way, get seen, be busted. And like, it was... So like, tension, because like... Communication wasn't there for us. You had to figure it out. It's fun, though, because of that. It's different from the rest of the game, which is why it works. It's not just, we're going to do a bunch of ads. Here's a task to do in the middle of it. Clear it all. Beat the boss. Give it the guns. It really is like, work as a team of six people. Like, my favorite of all three events is the runner one.
Yeah.
I think the runner one is so much fun. And it because it's something so different for a game like this. It almost has nothing to do with your ability to kill bad guys. Like,
no, it's all communication, really.
It's all communication and how fast and reaction time. Like, shoot those arrows. Oh, I hit middle. Both of you shoot top and bottom. You're like, it's reaction time. And then you have the two runners, the final power. It's just, it's a lot of fun. And when you're running with a team that really gets it, like, we had our three on our side when we were running that. We were hitting it flawless. Once we figured it out, we went through like four times. We didn't miss a single one.
It feels good.
Oh, dude.
Once you hit it, you feel good.
Every time our runner would hit his and we hit ours, he'd be like, yes. And then we got to the end, he'd be like, never had to stop. And he, like, it literally was like a vote of confidence because, like, he'd come through feeling great because he just ran through the bitch, never got stopped once. And the other two of us we'd hit our arrows. Like, I would get the kill. Like, it was just a perfect cycle. And you feel so in sync. It's fun. It really, I mean, we spent that thing for over 6 hours and we had so much fun. Granted, now when you know what to do, you can get through it much quicker.
Yeah, I mean,
And you get to a higher power. When we first went in, I was barely 270.
Yeah, I was around 272.
Our max guy was like 293. So, like, yeah, high enough level to do the raid. You only have to be 260 to go in. Man, I'd love to see six 260s go in there and see what the fuck they could do.
Oh, that would be nice. I mean, even if you knew what you were doing, it's just the your power is...
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big deal. It really
you
affects
have to be hella
your,
skilled yeah. to be able to do that. Especially because, I mean, it's so much coordination and communication like we've talked about. So, but this is where I think... One of the things I think is really cool about Destiny is that it really is catering to every level of gamer. Crucible for your casual gamer. Strikes, story mode, shit like that for your like in between, like kind, semi, like even hardcore gamer, but that doesn't have a big group of people they play with. You know, like hardcore gamer who plays with like two of their friends.
Yeah.
They can do all that shit all day. That's basically what we did the first, like I raided like once or twice in the first Destiny because I never had six people to do it with.
Yeah, I did a little more frequently than you. I had a couple buddies who were usually willing to go in, and then we were fond of the Destiny forums, so we would go on those and be like, oh, we're looking for two or three people to do this raid or whatever, or we join up with random people. I mean, we weren't shy about doing that.
No, but then the raid is there for like classic old school gamers who are just like, I want to do something. I want to do a campaign that's going to take me hours. Like, and that's why I got the first day we raided, and every time we raid, whenever we get a text like we want to raid, like I get excited because like you fucking get your drinks, your snacks, you sit down, you get everything ready. Everything's right there. You take your piss right before you sit, and you're just like, fucking go.
Oh yeah, I mean ready tonight to I got plans tonight 8:00. I'm gonna go hop in. We've already done most of the part. We're just going to do Kalos. This will be the first time I finish the raid, and I'm so stoked. I'm ready to go. I can't wait. I got what, just over 4 hours until I'm ready to go. Like excellent. I'm excited.
I'm hoping. I've been talking to people. I'm hoping to raid tonight. I know I have people. Hopefully we have enough on. I'm definitely hoping to raid tonight. Probably with a couple of rooks who haven't done it yet. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of informational stuff, so, but it'll still be fun.
When we first went in, me and my buddies, two of the guys had looked up a bunch of videos. They kind of knew what to do, but they had never been in the actual raid themselves, so they weren't 100% sure. They didn't know exactly what was going down, but we got in there and they were the ones who kind of controlled when we went to the dog room. The one who knew what he was doing was up top with me, and we were using the lights, and then the other guy was taking the guys through the forest and running them because he kind of knew where to go, and he was like, all right guys, follow me, we're gonna go this way. But it still took us a while because we didn't know the paths of the dogs. Yep. We didn't know how they were moving. We even had a little infographic that told us where the dogs would be, where they went to howl, kind of where their path was, but it wasn't perfect. But you kind of had to you needed to go in there and you needed to know, okay, the flower's top right, but on the right side, you got to wait for this dog to turn around and this dog is going to be coming towards you. So you guys need to hurry. You need to get to that flower and like you need to light it up real quick and run back. Because there's that little crack that we would always go to, and that was kind of our another safety spot besides the main room.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, going through our first time, those two really helped us. But it still, I mean, it took us like 5.5 hours, and we only finished two parts. We didn't even finish the bather room, and we didn't get to Kalos. So there's still another, if we would have kept going, it probably would have taken us another 4 hours.
Yeah, so that speaks to another thing I love about this game, where it's kind of bringing a little bit of a classic angle back. So I was just talking about this, and this I guess this will close up Destiny 2 with this because it's going to segue really good into the last thing I want to talk about. We're already going on like 45 minutes. and this is similar with the first game too. There's a bit of muscle memory to this game where it's like once things get a lot easier when you know, oh, these the routes and things.
Yeah.
So I've just gotten the Super Nintendo Classic, which people have been either raving or ranting about on the internet, depending on if you got one or not.
Oh, yeah.
I was lucky enough to score a pre-order, so I got one. And we were playing, we went pretty hardcore on Sunday night. We were playing Super Mario World and Contra 3 and a lot of fun stuff like that, Super Mario Kart. And when we were going to like Super Mario World, I was like talking, me and my roommate, we have a co-campaign going just to see how far did we want to beat the game. And we're talking about muscle memory aspect of these old games where like the speed run thing comes out of. Like it got to a point where like playing Mario, it just became memory of when to jump, when to duck, when to do this. Like if you got good enough, it was like that was just so cool about a speed run thing. And that's kind of what a raid, it's a bit of the raid mechanics and how it's like, you will get to a point where you can do the raid in 2 hours when you know every little thing you have to do and you're a high enough power.
Yeah, me and my buddies, we got through the first three trials. We got all the way to Kalos in like 2 hours the second time we did it. We did the dogs in two runs.
Yeah.
It only took us two attempts to get through the dogs, which is one of the hardest parts.
Yep. And then, it's the hardest event.
We did the gauntlet, I think, the second try because we had like a couple mini, like minor mistakes. It was like, okay, we need to get back into this. But we figured it out. Like, it took us like 30, 45 minutes to get through the first two parts of the raids. And then the bathers, they're a little more difficult just because the health.
The bathers is the closest you get to a classic, like, ad clearing and like objective base, because there's a decent amount of guys you have to kill in that one.
Yeah, and if you're not at high enough light level, it's tough to kill those bathers. And if you don't have the right weapons, it's also tough to kill those bathers.
Yeah.
So it took us a little bit, but once everyone kind of got the guns they needed, got their supers up to take care of like the crystals and stuff. Once we got that stuff out of the way, we got it. I mean, like I said, it only took us two hours, I think, to get to Kalos. Yeah. It was nothing the second time. Muscle memory came right in, and we just took over. We did those parts so quickly. I couldn't believe it when we got the dogs done the second time. I was freaking out.
Yeah.
It felt good.
Exactly. So, like, that's a cool aspect to the raids. Like, they just bring in some little, like, old school flavors like that you forget, like, you forgot that you even loved about old games. And I only kind of picked that right now because I've gotten this Super Nintendo Classic. I've been playing these games a little bit, and it reminded me of that. So, yeah, the raid, definitely really cool. Probably getting the Prestige raid in the next few weeks, which is when you'll be able to hit max light of or power of 350.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, but that's when it'll actually become possible is when that happens. Right now, max is like 305 or something like that.
305, I think, is the max.
So, wait, so you're sitting at
301 on my Titan.
Yeah. So that closes out this. You're sitting at 301. I think I'm at like 291, 292 with my Warlock. It's been a few days since I played. I had a busy weekend and stuff.
Finish it. If I finish the raid tonight, I think I'll hop up to 302, 303. Nice. If I get, like, I'm waiting to get that rocket launcher from the raid, that'll boost me up.
Rocket launcher.
If I get an armor piece or two, that would really help.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Awesome. So, yeah, we'll segue into that, too. Like, the last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here in Episode Zero. And, as I mentioned, the Super Nintendo Classic, which is pretty great. As some of you may remember, last year they released the Nintendo Entertainment System Classic, their original NES. Nintendo did. And they're basically, all they are is, you remember those, the Atari and Pac-Man joystick games.
It literally had red, white, yellow cables you'd plug into your TV, and it would come preloaded with 20-some games.
Yeah, arcade games.
And you just go rock through it.
So it's literally, this is the Nintendo's version of it. The console literally fits in the palm of my hand. It's just a fun little piece that's made to look like a Super Nintendo. Two ports for controllers, HDMI, and power cord out. That's it. The power button's the power button.
Yeah, the little slider.
And the reset button is how you go back to home. So that's when you're playing a game, you need to get back to home screen, just hit reset. It takes you right back to the home screen where all the games are. So I missed out on the Nintendo last year because, as you recall, it was a thing. They did like one pre-order session, two drops in stores, sold out immediately to scalpers, big Christmas product. Super Nintendo, unfortunately, has not been very different. I want to say how I was lucky enough to even score this, because it really is lucky. So I mostly work nights. I stay up late. I don't wake up early. I don't go to sleep early. I'm nocturnal. I'm a person of the night. So it was like 1:30 in the morning on like, I don't know, it was like middle of August on like, it was like early August, like a Tuesday night or something. And a comedian we really like, Ron Funches, who's someone I'm sure you'll actually hear brought up on the show this month because he's like a big gamer and stuff like that, and we're big fans. He was retweeting this guy who's just like some gamer account who just started tweeting out links to Best Buy for pre-orders for the Super Nintendo. It's like, get one while you can. And Funches, so I was like, wait, what? And I clicked it because I knew it was coming, but I didn't know they were doing like pre-orders up. It's 1:30 in the morning. Best Buy put pre-orders up, so I clicked it and it was there. And I was like, "I have a Best Buy credit card. It's very easy for me to buy things there, which is maybe a good thing, maybe a bad thing. I don't know." So I said, "Screw it." That in my cart, bought it. Was pretty excited, but not even really thinking about it. Went back in 10 minutes later, not even like 5 minutes later. I wanted to look at the games it came with, so I could like start talking about the games. All pre-orders sold out. So I was like, "Oh, glad I got that."
I'm still shocked that you were able to get one. I mean, they did announce that they are gonna put more out, but I mean, even so, I don't know how.
They released on Friday and they were gone super quick in stores. But so the next day, and this is when I really realized how lucky I was to get this thing. The next day is when Walmart, Amazon, and Target all released their pre-orders, and they're gone in a minute, like that. They released it in the middle of the day, like most companies would, and Best Buy was like, "Nah, we're gonna sneak it in the middle of the night." Thank God they did, or else I would not have.
I mean,
think about it.
Most of your nerd pop culture dudes who are really into Nintendo, like the old games and like the nostalgia video games, those guys are going to be up at night. Exactly. So that's kind of cool. This
is why
that.
I think it's cool that Best Buy did that. Most of what got bought at Amazon, Walmart, and stuff were scalpers. Oh, yeah. Middle of the day, people, that's what they do all day.
No, they're going to fuck, yeah.
1:30 in the morning, I guarantee you most of the people that got these Best Buy purchases were people like me. They got tipped off by a gamer nerd friend.
Yeah, and they someone they follow on Twitter who's mm-hmm. like a game reviewer or something. Yep. And like, or the huge game nerd like Ron Funches. They saw this and they retweet it or they tweeted it out. And like people who follow him who are also yeah. pop culture nerds are like, oh, this is really cool. I'm going to see if I can, like, I'm going to check it out. And they're like, oh, it's, what was it, like 60 bucks?
80 bucks.
80 bucks. Not horrible.
Steal. Let's talk about steal. All right, let's get into this thing. So there's the controversy aside. Yeah, yeah, I got one. I'm never getting rid of this thing. I will never scalp it. Don't you worry. A actual person who will love the shit out of this thing got it.
Yeah, the cool thing that a lot of people don't know, our first console that our dad had when we were growing up was the Super Nintendo.
Which was so his. Yeah. He bought that not for us. That was for him.
It was our dad's console. He played it with his friends. Like, they played the shit out of the Super Nintendo. We played it when we grew up. We played a bunch of games. The cool thing about these little SNES classics is, there's games on there that we played, but there's also a lot of games on there that we didn't play.
Exactly.
That we can go back. People like the Zelda, what is it? The Link to the Past. That's we never really played Zelda, but that's known as one of the best games ever. There's the Star Fox 2, which is an unreleased game.
Technically unreleased.
Very cool.
So exactly. So let's talk about it. So basically what sold me instantly is I saw Zelda and I saw Super Mario Kart. First off, I didn't know, granted, I'm not Mr. Game Historian, but I didn't know Mario Kart started on Super Nintendo. I thought it was like Smash. Mario Kart 64 was the beginning.
Yeah, so did I.
That's what I thought. It just felt like right. It felt like that's when it all started. Nope, Super Nintendo. So I saw that and I saw Zelda. I knew just because we have a Super Nintendo, working Super Nintendo. It still works. Have all of our games for it still. Mario, Super Mario All-Stars, Super Mario World, the Star Wars
Super
games.
Punch-Out.
Donkey Kong Country, Justice League Arcade Fighter, all these things.
Justice League, that was a great game.
So, but I knew just getting Zelda and Super Mario Kart for Super Nintendo would probably cost me close to $200. If I could even find good condition cartridges to get. Because these are, you're talking about huge games people don't want to get rid of.
These are, I mean, what are the games are like, what, 30 years old now, at least?
Yeah, you're talking about early 90s, late 80s?
Yeah, like those.
I think it was early 90s,
they're
early
mid-90s. Old games.
Yeah. So, I saw those instantly sold. So, yeah. Then you have Super Mario World is on here, which we own, but is also one of the best video games ever made.
Yeah.
I confirmed by playing it for like 7 hours the other day. It's still perfect. It really is a perfect side-scroller. Like, it's amazing. Donkey Kong Country.
Oh, that was one of my favorite games. Let me put this up.
So amazed how quickly I fell right back into that game.
I'm not surprised.
We opened it up and I was like, oh, guys, I'm real good at this
collecting
game.
The bananas and everything. Oh, my yep. favorite. We had Donkey Kong Country 2, right?
I think we might have had both. I thought it was 2 we had and not 1.
What was
one,
the one with the pirate ship? Because I Diddy
think that's
Kong?
2.
Okay, both I remember of them playing Diddy. That one a lot.
Yes. So you have those. You have Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars. Never even played it. Don't know much about it. Still haven't played it. Contra 3. Fucking awesome. Contra 3 is one of those old school side-scrolling arcade games where you're two guys and you have to shoot things and people are coming from the top and you're like scrolling across.
Okay. Very cool. So
hella fun.
Like a Metroid or a Galaga yeah. or something.
Played
like
that for a while. Got pretty good at it. That's fun as fuck. Real hard, but it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's known as one of the best games. I mean, one of the classic, like,
yeah.
high-praised video games
it's, yeah,
all
so
time.
It's Contra 3, which is a lot of fun. Yoshi's Island, which we haven't gotten into yet. Like, I haven't gotten much into the one-player games as much yet because we were playing two-player stuff because we had a bunch of us over.
There's the one other one on here. What is it? It's one of the Castlevania. That's yes. a game. I think Dad used to play that, and I remember him talking about it. We never played that growing up, but, I mean, that's on there. I think it's Castlevania 3 or 4 on there.
Yep.
I mean, very cool. You which get people, to kind of dabble in that. They just came out with the anime show on Netflix.
Yep, the like a mature anime show on Netflix. So that's interesting.
Maybe that'll
Final Fantasy 3's on here.
Really?
Super Metroid. I've never played a Metroid game. Metroid and Zelda are the two I'm most excited to get into because I've never played those.
Yeah. And
same with Star Fox.
And there's a Kirby on there too, which is kind of cool.
Kirby's Dream Course. You and me got to get into it. So it's... Yeah. It's kind of like a Hot Shots Golf-esque game in a sense of like what you're doing is you get put on a map, you play 8 holes, and it's like you're shooting Kirby around. You have to like hit these things and it unlocks a star.
Very
you have
cool.
to you're playing against each other. You want to get 5 stars, and once someone gets 5 stars, it opens a hole. First one in the hole wins the map.
Wow.
It's rudimentary. It's 8-bit or 16-bit or whatever it is on yeah. it's fun, but time consuming. So we played a little bit of that. There's also Kirby Superstar, which is 8 games in 1. We haven't done much of that yet. It's just like mini games and
like
stuff.
Like a Mario Party type game.
I'm excited to check this one out. Super Ghouls and Ghosts. I don't know what it is, but that name.
That sounds like right up your alley.
Guys, you'll get to know this real fast. Big horror guy over here. Love monsters. Love spooky things. Gonna have a lot of fun with that. Oh, so Star Fox 2, how you have to open it. You have to unlock it. How you unlock it? All you have to do is clear the first stage of the original Star Fox.
Okay.
Once you clear the first stage of the original Star Fox, you unlock Star Fox 2, which is an unreleased game. Granted, the gaming community has been playing it for years on the internet because of ROMs.
Yeah.
But this is the first official licensed release of Star Fox 2, so that's cool. Secret of Mana, which is something I have no idea, but it's probably an adventure game. Mega Man X, I've never played a Mega Man game. Oh, then so Super Punch Out, which is fun. We frustrating game as hell. But that's a one person fighting game,
yeah,
which
that
is interesting.
Game was fun.
A lot of fun. Street Fighter 2 Turbo is also on here. So there's a Street Fighter game for us as well. Also, this weird game, Earthbound. Don't know what that is. So yeah, 20 games. Hella shit to do. Super fucking fun. I mean, oh, and F-Zero is a one player racing game. That's pretty wild. But it's a one player racing game. So it's kind of a little weird because. Two players, what you would expect.
Yeah.
Like Super. All right, so actually, what I want to talk about, I want to talk a little bit about Super Mario Kart. I wish we should have sat down and played for like an hour before we record this episode, just so you can get a little bit of a thing. But we'll play next week. Maybe we'll do a little check-in with
Recap.
Lucas. Yeah, check-in with Lucas, what he thinks. So Super Mario Kart, super rudimentary version of it, but the game is there. It's all there, Lucas. 500 CC. You have your question mark boxes. So everything's on the ground, though. So you run over it. It's just a square on the ground with a question mark in it. But as soon as you hit it, it's got the sound effect. You get it's bananas, stars, green shells, and coins. You can just collect coins as one of the things you can get from some of them. It has all that stuff is there. The tournament style where it's like it's 5 races in a row. Winner who has the best score at the end of all 5 races is your winner. Like, all of the DNA of Mario Kart, the drift is there.
The drift
is in it. It's integral. Like, they knew what that game was from day one, and they've barely... Battle mode's in it. I haven't played it yet, but battle mode is in it. They knew what that game was from day one, and they've barely had to waver because it's a perfect structure
for
a video
game. That's
wild.
If you think about it, that game really hasn't changed that much through the years.
Graphics,
and they're on
a
what? Super Mario or Mario 10. Kart 9 or 10?
10. 10 was the latest.
And they sell like crazy. But it's really, I mean,
it's a perfect racing game.
They release a different map and maybe updated graphics with maybe like a different car or something.
It's always
but
a few updates, but enough updates
it's
that
the
players
same
want.
Same game. Yep. But they sell millions of copies.
It's perfect. I mean,
it's just such
broke,
a fun game.
It, man. Yeah, exactly. It's the same reason they keep going with Smash Brothers, because it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, the thing is awesome. We grew up with Super Nintendo, so I was super stoked to get one. I want to get Dad to play it too, because when I mentioned it to him, he was real interested with it.
Yeah, I remember after he got off the phone with you the night you told him you pre-ordered it, he was like, "Oh, that's really cool." He was like, "He's telling me some of the games in there." He's like, "I definitely want to go and try give that a shot."
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that if somehow you guys get a chance to get one of these, I'm sure they'll do at least one more drop before Christmas. That may be it. I'm hoping they wise up with these eventually and realize that they just need to put them in stores. Like, I should be able to go to Best Buy and buy the NES Classic. Give it another year or two to...
It would sell. I don't know why they wouldn't. I think they said they were going to release more of... I know this one. I don't know if they said that. I think the NES they said was done. But it doesn't make sense because you could sell so many copies and make so much more money. It doesn't, I mean, I get it. You want your stuff to be kind of nostalgic and have value, but... You want people to be able to play it.
They're safeguarded too much.
Yeah.
Do like a major release one time. Thousands and thousands of copies go out. But that's it.
Yeah.
So if you don't get it when it comes out, 5 years later, it's now a collector's item because the people who didn't get one didn't get one. But everybody who wants when the day comes out gets a chance. You know what I'm saying?
There's no reason.
Scalp game to it because... And don't even put limited release. Just say you're dropping it with 1,000 units. Scalpers won't go for it then.
There's no
then
reason.
Be like, oh, we only made that one drop. It's gone.
There's no reason that you should release something like this. Like, oh, we're going to bring back the Super Nintendo with this many games. Bring it back, and the day it's released, there's no reason the only way you can buy it is through eBay from a scalper for 3-4 times the cost.
Yeah.
You should be able to get it for like a month, just regular price, go to the store, whatever. I get it after that. They sell out. You don't want to push too many. But you shouldn't have, the day it comes out, you shouldn't have to pay 4 times the price.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. I don't get why they would limit the release to this little of a like
quantity. Exactly. Like there's like it's exactly there's one major release drop. Everyone gets a chance. If you don't go out though in that first month, as soon as all those copies are gone, they're never making it. But everyone like gets a shot to go in. And maybe you just have like I guess you can't do an open pre-order because then you're just gonna have a lot of scalpers ordering a bunch of them. But like there's ways to do this a little better. I'm not saying that they just need to make it a product that's always there forever and ever. I get that they want to keep like it's the same thing with Disney's Vault. They want to keep a demand for these products. They don't want to oversaturate it. I get it. But you've held Mario, Zelda, Donkey Kong, Metroid in your warehouse for way too fucking long.
Yeah.
Like you're not even like you're barely making Mario games anymore. I've been saying this. Why is there not a Donkey Kong game, a Metroid game, a Star Fox game? These are such iconic characters.
And especially, I mean, I know it's not such a problem now with the Switch. The Switch is getting a lot more ports to that system. But, like, with the Wii and stuff, like, there weren't that many games for the Wii. Like, even like, and Call of Duty got ported to the Wii. It was garbage.
Garbage.
Like, they should have been making Donkey Kong Country 3 or, like, whatever.
Exactly.
Like, bring these games back. I would have played the shit out of Donkey Kong Country 3 if they brought it to the Wii. Or if they, like, I know the Switch now, they're bringing more. They made a new Mario game. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
And people that's getting well-received by a lot of people.
Obviously, Pokken Tournament is now a huge thing for them, which I want to try out. It looks like a game we would just be all apeshit for. They're definitely, the Switch is, I haven't gotten to play it, but it looks like it was definitely a step in the right direction after their whole motion gaming fiasco over the last decade. Even the Switch
was kind of, I mean, right away it was like impossible to get, but now like we've gone to Best Buy and I've seen it there. Like I've seen it at Target, I've seen it at Walmart.
I'll be fair on that.
I've seen it in the store.
Most companies on the initial release drop of their new system.
They limit them.
They're sold out. Yeah, exactly. So it always happens with PlayStation and Xbox. Day one drops are always sold out and people are like, I can't get one for a month. But then after that first month goes by, they just become a readily available product. I don't know
if you heard, but the Switch, for the first out of the first 6 months it was out, it was the top-selling console for four of them. Which is, I mean, it's good considering PlayStation and Xbox are, I mean, they're huge consoles. But
you know, that's awesome because I we all want Nintendo to make a huge comeback. Everybody loves these games. They love these properties. Nobody shits on Nintendo with, like, malicious intent. When people are, like, mean about Nintendo, it's always good heart. It's like, I'm mad you did the Wii and the Wii U because I want Mario back. I want Donkey Kong. Like, how is there not a dope adventure game for Star Fox right now? With, like, modern updated graphics. You can make a dope-ass third-person shooter out of Star Fox.
A Metroid.
What are you doing? Dope first-person or third-person shooter out of Metroid. Why aren't you doing these things? Step into the modern age of gaming.
Yeah. They have the licenses. There's no reason they shouldn't be. You would make more money by making these games. There's no reason you shouldn't put a little more of your capital into making these licensed games that are Nintendo.
You have so many Nintendo specific properties that are so iconic. Yeah, you may not be able to get most of us to get an Xbox and a PlayStation because for the most part, everything's on both.
Yep.
For the most part. You can get about any hardcore gamer to buy a Nintendo and whatever other system if they are actually making all of their known IPs on that Nintendo. Oh, yeah. And well. Because there's just so much. It's such a deep well to pull from.
If you think about it, the Wii was hugely successful. I mean, they sold a lot of copies because it was just in everyone's like living room or whatever. It was in our living room. But Mario Kart, that was huge on that. Yeah. People were excited to play the game again. You didn't necessarily have to use the stupid Wiimote. They were selling GameCube controllers again that you could buy. So it was cool to see that they were bringing back one of their old licenses to their new console, and it got people excited, which is, I hope they, because they're kind of doing that now, bringing Mario back, but I hope they're not going to limit it to just that. I hope they bring back, well, they also brought back a Zelda, which is also a good thing. So within the first year of the Nintendo Switch, they got a new Mario and a new Zelda, which is great.
Yep.
I would love it if they brought back a Donkey Kong Country. You might see me buy a Switch if they come out with a Donkey Kong Country.
I'm legit. Like, you want to, I was already at one point like, oh, mate, when the Switch came out, I mean, we're in the game world. There's always a little bit of like when you see that hype of a new system, you always go in your head, can I afford it? Can I get that right now? You know, there's always that little bit of you just like, is it actually possible? Most of the time it's no, I don't have the luxury of just buying a new system because it might be interesting. Yeah. But at this point, Pokken Tournament, new Mario, if they did something either like a new, like somehow make a, like make it where the new Smash is a must have, Mario Kart, like, you know, like you bring back these guys and then like a Donkey Kong or Zelda, one of these games, you could see me buy it. Have a big comeback for one of these characters that it's been a while since we've seen them on the platform. I think that would be huge. I hope we see something like that. I'm kind of hoping the next step is they're going to do an N64 ROM thing like this.
That would be very cool. I'd like to see them bring back. I mean, it's tough to say what they can put on the 64. Obviously,
it's always going to be Nintendo specific.
Goldfinger, I think they should.
Obviously, you're going to have Smash Brothers and Mario Kart.
But I mean, Smash Brothers is such a big license. Can they can they port it to that without upsetting so many people? I don't know.
That's true. I don't know. That's so interesting to see what they do next. They seem to be pretty fond of this whole mini system things that they're doing.
Okay, I didn't know how much the Switch was. I looked it up. It's $360.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I get it. It's a new console. It's going to be up there in price. And it's basically its own TV too. Yeah. It's got exactly. Its own screen, but which is also the console itself. I mean.
It's a little more. It's exactly. Very,
honestly, the technology in it is pretty wild. There's not many things like that. So I get why it's going to be.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. It's honestly blending the two things they did best with the Mario types games with portable gaming, because obviously Game Boys are fucking great. We love Game Boys. I'm sure there'll be a fucking whole Game Boy episode on this at some point.
Okay.
There will be a Game Boy Color episode. Well, just a Game Boy episode. Going through our evolution of
Color
Game Boys.
SP, whatever.
Yep, Advance SP, DS. All that jazz. Now 3DS, 2DS, all that.
Yeah.
We've gone through every generation of Game Boy, guys, so we will be talking about that at some point for sure. I'm just kidding. Nintendo's definitely coming up on here a lot. I'm sure we'll have a Super Nintendo episode down the line.
Yeah. I bet we'll revisit this.
As I'm saying.
The SNES Classic, and we're going to definitely... I mean, between the two of us will play it, I'm sure. And we'll have enough to talk about probably in a... down the road a little bit.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
To
by
really
the time we
dive in and do a good episode where we can talk about a lot of the games.
Oh, we're going to do, we'll do a deep dive Super Nintendo episode down the line.
I'm sure we'll pick our top three and go crazy about those and then talk a little bit about
the other
ones.
What'll be fun about it is we have 25 games for Super Nintendo at home.
Yeah, we
so should. Like we can
probably
we'll,
more.
Yeah, so we'll hook up ours, do a deep dive of our games. I mean, we have the Jurassic Park game, the Pink Panther game, the Home Alone game, the Star Wars games, NBA Jam, so much. There's so many fun games.
I mean,
the Lion King game, the Aladdin game. We will have... I mean, I'm sure we'll pick a couple game specifics to do episodes on, but we're going to have a Super Nintendo episode, which this classic will be brought into as well.
Dad was talking to me last night about... he was like, oh, we should probably get that Super Nintendo out of the basement, huh? Blah, blah, blah. I think he wants to get it out and hook it up, because he's like, oh, it's not damaged, is it? It didn't get hurt by the water or whatever, because our basement flooded. I was like, no, it's still up in that tray. It's still safe.
You know what we should also do? We should flop the trays and make the middle one the games and the bottom the booklets. So if it does ever... Because the top is the console was always fine down there.
Yeah.
The games could have gotten wet if that had... But also would have had to get 2 feet because it isn't a drawer. But anyways.
Yeah.
That'll be a fun thing down the line. You'll hear us talk about that a lot. But for now I've only played it for 8-9 hours. So I have a lot more to go with it. There'll be more deep dives. So there'll be a lot more to talk about with this down the line. But I think that does it for episode 1 of Tales from the Bunk Bed.
Wrapping it up.
That was a lot of fun. I'm excited. I think this might actually go better than we thought.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was a little nervous going into this. I'm not the best public speaker.
Lucas has never podcasted before. I've been doing this now for a little over a year just for fun. I did one with my cousin for a little bit that was kind of short-lived, and now I'm on a... and now we'll get into our own plugs. Why the hell not? I'm on a weekly movie breakdown, box office breakdown podcast called The Breakdown. You can find us if you search Breakdown Movies on iTunes, or you can find us on Twitter at Breakdown_pod. It's fun. A few of my friends from Twitter, we just talk about the box office and review a new movie every week. And right now we're reviewing Rick and Morty from week to week. This new actually, by the time this comes out, we will have that episode up where we probably have talked about the season finale, which was really good. Other than that, you can find me all the time on Twitter at Zach, that's ZACHWW Movies, and on Instagram at Zach Who Watches Movies. I'm very much on the social medias, usually talking about movies, but always talking about pop culture for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's up to you. Do you want to let anyone know where to find you?
I mean, you can find me on Twitter at Lazaro, LAZARO 895, Lazaro 895, and then on Instagram, Al Kindren. You can hit me up, talk to me about the podcast if you're interested. If you guys are liking it, let us know for sure. We'd love to hear feedback.
Exactly.
If you listen to enough podcasts and you think there's something that would be better about our show if we had a little more structure or something, let us know. I mean, this is episode 0 right now.
Exactly.
We'll be stoked to hear
any responses. We're gonna grow. We have our basic structure. always open to suggestions. Never be afraid to give us a suggestion for the show and for topics.
Topics, yeah.
Granted, if it's something we never consumed as kids, probably not a shot in hell. Sorry,
guys.
I mean,
honestly, if it's something that was big, like, I mean, Zelda or something, if it's something like, oh, this was a big thing for kids when we were growing up, but we never got into it, if we have the opportunity to go get it, maybe down the line, we go grab, like, a copy of Zelda or something, or whatever it is that someone recommends. And we give it a shot, and we think, like we say, what we think about it now.
So, this is a good opportunity to bring this up, too, because this is another thing. So, the basic structure of the show is things that we consume together while sharing room, bunk bed, all that jazz.
Maybe we won't do a full episode.
Well, no,
maybe
so this is what it's, so every once in a while, there'll be some deviations, but it'll all be in the same spirit. There will be times where we do things, whether it be games or movies. It's much like how we did Destiny today. It'll be a thing that we've both consumed together from the start. Or at least, like, it's a big thing for us together.
Yeah.
That happened after we were out of the room. You know? Yeah. Like, that'll be the main focus. Most weeks, that'll be our topic. But every once in a while, there's going to be perfect opportunities to talk about things we really want to talk about that fit into this. So that's a good idea, actually. We're going to probably avoid these for the most part for the first, like, 10 to 20 episodes. Try and keep it on track.
Yeah.
So this will be way down the line. But we can definitely do... like user request episodes where it's an episode. Maybe we pick two games, like a game and a movie or something, or a game, like two things that people have been requesting a lot that we aren't familiar with. And all the show is we watch it or play it and just talk about what we think about it and why we think it was so huge for that generation. Yeah, for them, and why is it big now?
Even if like we get far enough down and like we're getting to some stuff that we know enough about, but it's hard to get 2 hours or whatever, and maybe we do a segment at the end of the show where we go through the user submissions or whatever, and we talk about like, oh, we picked this up, we watched this movie or whatever, we read this book, and we talk about what we think of it and why we think it was so influential at the time or whatever.
Exactly. As you can see, we're kind of figuring this out as we go, as most good shows would be. So I'm sure once we get to episode 5, 6, we'll have a pretty good idea of what we're doing, because obviously this being episode 0, we didn't even follow any structure. We just wanted to intro the show so you guys know what to expect. Yeah, and talk about Destiny because it's been taking up our lives so much lately. So other than that, yeah, we will be back. This is going to air. Let me just find the dates here again so I can just let you know, because we are recording this on Monday the 2nd, but it's not going to be to you guys until Tuesday the 10th. That's when episode 0 is dropping. After that, we will have the first official episode of the show on Tuesday, October 17th. After that, the second official episode will be on Halloween. I'm telling you right now that our Halloween episode is probably going to be one of those like kind of variation specials.
Because it's going to be
we got to do Halloween stuff. And we picking one topic just isn't fair. So that will probably be...
It'll maybe be a Halloween, we'll center it
around a bunk bed pop culture thing. But it'll end up being a deep dive into just our favorite Halloween shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you can expect now on the 17th, it will be the Hit Splits episode. So like we said, check into some of that stuff, and we'll obviously do a little shoot the shit before that. Other than that, we hope you guys enjoyed episode 0, and hopefully you guys are excited for what we have coming, because I'm really excited about this. I've been waiting to do this for a while now, and I'm happy we finally got it going.
Yeah, no, definitely went a lot better than I would have thought.
Exactly. So thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 0 of Tales from the Bunk Bed. I am Zach.
I'm Lucas.
And we will talk to you in 2 weeks.